This program is brought to you by the University of Southern Queensland.
Let's do the catch-up with Connor on Phoenix Radio. I'm joined by Mike Gambaro. You are a geek from Beauty and the Geek. And from my time with you, geek's a little bit misleading, mate. You're one of the most charismatic blokes I know.
Yeah, well, you got to realise as well, the show's wrapped up and we are 6 months post-filming.
Transformation, mate.
The transformation, the makeover, the build-up of everything. I think that's really fixed me.
You're a new man.
Yeah, brand new person. You know, I went in as a bat boy and became out as a Batman.
Mate, I talk about Batman. I'm thinking, well, Captain America. You've gone in the super in the machine. You've come out the super soldier.
The super
mate.
Soldier. Yeah.
All right. So you know, how did you get involved with the show, and what was the interview process like? I think I overheard you saying several thousands, in the tens of thousands of people applied for the show. Well, just tell me all about that process.
It was really a moment of. You go through a whole application process. You go into there. You fill out all your questions. Are you really that geeky? Oh, tell me all your failed relationships. Your failed looking for love. Doing all that stuff. And then moving forward, you get the call and you just pump through it. And it's this. It's interview after interview after interview from all the producers. So everyone gets to know you. And they just kind of filter out the people. Because there are, at the end of the day, thousands of people that apply to the show. And a lot of them are either looking for something, while the others are looking for maybe a bit of fame. And it's a matter of filtering out between that.
I'd say congratulations, but it seems like very well deserved. You seem like a very genuine man.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
That really comes through as well. So what made you want to get involved with the show? What like, kick-started that? You know what? I'll interview for this. What happened around there?
So I would always watch the old show on the old format when it was on Channel 7. And it was... such a weird thing of my mum and I would always sit down, we'd always watch it and always joke around being like, you should end up on this show. You'll end up on this show. And here we are. Now we're here. But the big thing for me was 2020 was probably the worst year of my life. It was the year of lockdowns, the year of everything. It was my first year post school, post graduating. It was my first year being an actual adult.
Sure.
And there were lockdowns, which then ended in my grandfather passing away. So after that, I sort of needed something that would give me a bit more of a new purpose. And then, you know, watching the show during lockdowns and then just catching up on that, seeing how amazing it is through 2021, I'm like, well, maybe this could be my new purpose. Go through and apply, and there we go.
Sounds like a very sort of sincere way to apply. Like you said, people applying for things. Probably to promote themselves, promote this, that, the other. And, of course, they got weeded out quite quickly. And like I said, you seem like a very genuine guy. I'm not just saying that.
Thank you.
You really are a really genuine guy. You said the show's changed you. And we made the joke about becoming a new man, all that type of stuff. What specifically has changed from you since entering the show? We've come out the other side now. You know, if you were to break it down, if you were to say, I was this before, I'm this now, what progression has happened for you personally?
Going into it, if you were to throw me into a crowded room, the one thing I always say is throw me in front of 1,000 people. I'm happy to talk. I can do that. But throw me in with 1,000 people, that's where I struggle. And especially on the show, those mixes, you know, you're thrown into that situation where it's like, you really got to push out of that comfort zone. And especially for someone like me, where those are the moments that I don't like, the challenges I was barely scared for. But what I was scared for was, you know, the actual challenge of talking to 10 beautiful girls in a mixer situation like that. But, you know, being pushed to do that and then having your newfound best friends also pushing you to do that, also being on that journey, really helps you now come out of this experience with the tools that you need to go back into the real world and to be confident and comfortable in those situations. And I'd confidently say I've come out of that, being able to, you know, have a one-on-one conversation with people, being able to actually go on those social events. First weekend out after the show's aired, being recognized in public. If that happened to me before the show, someone coming up to me asking me, it's like, oh, you're like really jumping you about that. I want to be able to do it. But now it's like, yeah, let's have a chat. Let's talk. Let's go. You know, the show, I have the show to thank for that.
I think millions of men, not just in Australia, but around the world can Could very relate to you on that.
I've had a lot of messages, a lot of DMs, some good, some bad.
But any tips, bro? Help me out.
No, that's literally it. Between guys being like, "Oh, you're so lucky, man," and like, or there was one guy who messaged me being like, "Yeah, you wouldn't know what to do with a girl like Heidi. So when you're done with her, just send her my way." I'm like, "Yeah, sweet.
Okay, champ. Yeah, good on. That's terrible. How we? Of course, you were. You've been like live tweeting as the show been going out and things like they've been interacting with people. Surely you've had some fear. You had lots of positive feedback. Surely there's always going to be, you know, for a better word, arseholes out there, right? You know, how do you deal with criticism and things like that? Often very, very unfair. People attack you for things, you know, you can't control. People just, they make things up, see it in their head. You know, sometimes things are framed a certain way. You know, it's not actually how things happen. How have you dealt with that? Like, how is your mental health? Well, you know, how's that impacted that?
That's the best question I've been asked so far. It, how to combat it? Don't.
Sure.
Don't. Just ignore it.
Yeah.
Don't read it. Don't bother. Like, I mean, yeah, I've seen some hate. Who cares? And the way I put it as well is, if you're going to review a restaurant, if you go to a restaurant and you're going to review it, would you review it if it's good or if it's bad? What are you more likely to do?
I reckon if it's good.
You're going to review a restaurant if it's good?
Oh, you know, it depends. You know, if it was... depends how good, right?
Let's depends how good.
If, you know, if I get, like, a spaghetti, right, and there's, like, a dead rat in my spaghetti, you know, TripAdvisor's getting a couple comments, you know what I mean? But, like...
Well, nine out of 10 people will most likely review the restaurant if it's bad. And that's just because people only want to express their feelings if it's a negative feeling. If you're really happy in the moment, you don't want to, like, say if... If someone says something you don't like, you're more likely to...
The brain sticks to negative comments where you could see like 1,000 positive ones, you see 10 negative ones, and they're the ones that stick with you when you go to bed at night.
Exactly. And then that's my thinking behind it. Like, when I had my makeover, everyone on Twitter was ripping into my shoes. I don't care.
Mate, your shoes are fine.
My shoes were fine. I don't care. All right, you get better shoes.
Imagine, like... attacking you for your shoes, like that. You know, they're reaching when they're going for your shoes.
It's little things like that, and it's those moments where I read that and I'm like, who cares? Like, there are 1,000 people that I know will be supporting me and all of my friends, and there are 10 people that just want to pick on my shoes. So at the end of the day, like, just don't read it. Don't bother. Just enjoy all the good stuff that's coming your way.
Exactly.
Don't fixate on it. Just pretend it doesn't happen.
You mentioned on the challenges before. Was there any challenge you found particularly, or for better word, challenging? Something, obviously there are lots of fun ones, but anything really confronting with you that you thought, take a deep breath before you progress with this one?
Actually, no. There weren't any of the challenges. It was literally... So tonight's episode is a pretty cool episode, and it's very different to what happened last year. We are doing, it's in promo so I can talk about it. We're doing a life swap where we go into each other's lives and, you know, live in those moments. And tonight I get to meet Heidi's amazing dad and brother, who are very tall, very big, very scary.
What are your intentions with my daughter?
What's your intentions with me, sister? That's the line that has been thrown around. And that was the biggest challenge of all, and it wasn't even a challenge.
I'm feeling scared for you, you know?
Just wait until you see. That wasn't even the start of the question.
Oh, dear. There was more. I'm hooked.
More to it came after. But, yeah.
Oh, that is gold. Well, thank you for joining me today. It's a pleasure having you in. You know, thanks for coming in. Thanks for taking time out of your very busy day. I heard a little bit about your busy day, and busy is a bit of an understatement, so I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, between working at the radio station, juggling all these media interviews, and it's like, yeah. But thank you.
It's a hard life being famous. Is there any final comments you want to close with?
I want to tell a story that happened to me on the weekend.
Mate, go for it.
First time out being post-show, I'm standing in the urinal. I'm having a wee.
All good stories come from this.
Yep. A dude looks over at me and goes, Are you Mike from Being the Geek? yeah, mate. Can I shake your hand? Can we finish doing our business? And that is my favorite moment so far.
That is gold. That's going to stay with you for a while.
Damn right it will.
You know what? It's going to stay with that guy for even longer. If he can remember it, by the sounds of it, he was quite inebriated. If he can remember it, That's kind of the memory bank
I know
sure.
The exact horse it was out to. It was right underneath Barpaccino in the city. So I should get a plaque there.
Oh, my, honestly.
Mike Gambara was recognised while taking a wee.
We'll start a page for it to happen. I'm the number one supporter.
I love that.
Too easy. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thank you for having me.